You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, May 5th.
Tariffs levied by President Donald Trump mean Oregonians will see higher prices for most things by the summer, if they haven't already. As Kyra Buckley reports, U.S. companies are paying a 10% tariff on all products and more than 100% on goods coming from China.
It takes 3 to 5 weeks for a cargo ship carrying things like cars, electronics, toys, and clothes to make it from China to the U.S. It was about that long ago that Trump implemented his most widespread tariffs yet. So we're reaching the time when U.S. companies will pay those tariffs as goods arrive in American ports. And those costs will be at least partially passed on to consumers, says Lewis and Clark economist Anna Miramanova.
We are going to see higher prices. By how much higher, of course, I cannot say. I do not have a crystal ball.
Price increases will vary, she says, but will hit nearly everything, from food to construction materials to athletic shoes. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
About half of Oregon's hospitals lost money on day-to-day operations last year. That's according to a report released last week by the Hospital Association of Oregon. Amelia Templeton has more.
Data the association shared shows that since the pandemic, hospitals in Oregon have been significantly less profitable than their peers in other parts of the country. Bay Area Hospital in Coos Bay is among the many that have been in the red for several years in a row. CEO Brian Moore says their reserves are shrinking, leaving the hospital vulnerable to tariffs, federal cuts, or a cyber attack.
We don't have the latitude to absorb the bumps, the shocks of the system. Bay Area Hospital would not have the reserves to serve its community.
Hospitals say their costs have risen much faster than reimbursement rates, particularly for patients on government insurance like Medicaid. One in three Oregonians is on Medicaid, making that a big issue in the state. In Portland, I'm Amelia Templeton.
The Willapa National Wildlife Refuge on Washington's Long Beach Peninsula oversees thousands of acres of forests, tidelands, beaches, and streams, but could face challenges as a shifting federal landscape strains staff capacity and resources. The refuge recently saw the departure of its longtime project manager, Jackie Ferrier. She had led the refuge for more than a decade. According to sources familiar with her decision, Ferrier opted to take a deferred resignation offer sent to federal employees as the Trump administration continues to slash the federal workforce. Her last day was April 18th. Ferrier's departure comes at a time when the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge and wildlife refuges across the region are experiencing a significant loss of leadership and a loss of capacity at all levels, all of it happening at the same time. In some cases, staffing changes are happening abruptly and without the usual time to transition tasks or responsibilities to the colleagues who remain. The National Wildlife Refuge System falls under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which, like many other federal agencies, faces significant budget and staff reductions under the Trump administration. The nonprofit advocacy group National Wildlife Refuge Association says the staff departures seen already this spring at the agency and across the refuge system represent a, quote, conservation brain drain. The Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge is a nonprofit that works with the Long Beach Peninsula Refuge and helps support refuge programs. They say they expect to continue as they always have, for now. Still, President Pat Welly says they are concerned by the decreased funding and budget and staff cuts seen at the Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies involved with natural resources. Welly says the Friends group is working to be a strong advocate for the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge during this time.
We're stepping up where we can, and they're stepping in where they can. And we don't, you know, we're not a large organization. We don't do a lot of things. We do the occasional outreach program. We still have plans for our annual barge trip to Long Island. That's in the works. We have a couple of hikes going on. We have, you know, it's continuing our outreach efforts. And I don't see a lot of changes in that Definitely, it's a little bit, it's, you know, the refuge employees have been impacted, as have all federal agencies, I think. And we're just trying to support them the best we can.
Ferrier was not the only employee at the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge to take the deferred resignation option, according to a source involved with operations at the refuge. That source told KMUN the departure of Ferrier and others and an ongoing freeze on federal hires means everyone is trying to do more with less. They said there could be delays on contracting and purchasing for important projects and lost opportunities for future work in the refuge. Matt Lloyd, the deputy project leader at Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, confirmed that he is working as the acting project manager for now. He says that the changes in refuge staffing will not impact public access at this time, but he could not speak to other issues the refuge may face going forward. Ferrier declined to be interviewed for this story. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting. You can read more about this story by going to kmun.org/news. There you'll find local and regional news from KMUN and its news partners.
The Seaside Recycling Center on Avenue S will close on May 31st. Recology recently announced the closure due to unauthorized dumping that strained staff resources and affected nearby residents and businesses. Seaside City Manager Spencer Kyle said that the proximity of the city-sanctioned homeless encampment to the recycling center may have been a contributing factor. But Kyle said the real issue came down to individuals dumping at the location with few repercussions due to a lack of surveillance in the area. Seaside City Councilors made the decision to relocate glass recycling to the Visitors Bureau parking lot and cardboard recycling to the south side of the Seaside Convention Center. The city says it will run recycling services at both the current recycling center and at the new locations for the next month in order to give residents and businesses a chance to adjust to the change. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
Oregon's special district election is coming up in just a few weeks. Elections in Washington state won't happen again until the November general election, but filing week begins today. In Wakayakum County, 18 positions are up for election, including the mayor of Kathlamet, two town council positions, as well as two port district seats, among others. In neighboring Pacific County, city council positions are up for election in Ilwaco, Long Beach, Raymond, and South Bend. Mayor positions are open in the cities of Ilwaco, Raymond, and South Bend. Seats are also up for election on local port, fire, and school districts. KMUN will be working with our news partners to bring you information about races and measures ahead of the November election. For Oregon's upcoming May election, you can find general information for Tillamook, Clatsop, and Columbia counties at kmun.org/election. There you will also find links to podcasts and videos of candidate forums in Clatsop County produced by KMUN. Last week, KMUN was at a forum in Warrenton for contested seats on the Warrenton School District Board. The school district and the current board have come under fire in recent months following the dismissal of Mindy Little, the principal for Warrior Academy, the district's alternative school. Little was dismissed following investigations into alleged misconduct. She has denied those allegations. Soon after she was dismissed, the school district superintendent, Tom Rogozinski, stepped down. Again, you can find links to the Warrenton School District Board Candidates Forum at kmun.org/election. For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, sunny with highs in the low 60s. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday morning. And, of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.